will glorify your name this morning, Lord. Amongst us, we thank you for your word, Lord, that is eternal. Thank you for your spirit. And you open our eyes right now in Jesus' name. Thank you that we can perceive with our spirit right now. With a spiritual man and not with a natural man this morning, Lord. Thank you for heavenly wisdom that you give us, Lord, this morning. Instruction. Revelation. Because you desire to meet with us this morning. Jesus, we love you. We adore you. So welcome, your Holy Spirit. Amen. 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 I've got some... We can just stay there. I just want to pray for a couple of people here. Fondrich, can I just pray for you? There's something that God is busy restoring in you. And it's like he took a lot of shots. God says, I'm going to restore. Yeah. This is a gebou wat geskiet is, and God is busy plastering that again to make you strong as a fortress. Father, I thank you for Fondrich this morning, Lord. I thank you for what you're busy doing in his life, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for every person around him, Lord, every word of encouragement. I thank you for your word this morning, Lord, that is busy restoring, Lord, what the enemy has stolen. I thank you, Lord, that you're returning, Lord, a part of his youth that was stolen, Lord. This morning, I thank you, Lord, that you give him back, Lord, a full portion, Lord. And Father, where it feels to him that some of that has been stolen from him this morning, Lord, you dish up a new plate for him this morning. Father, you grant him grace, Lord, to say, you are free. I restore. And I put you in a place of honor again. You lift him up again, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that his life is such a testimony, Lord, of your goodness and your greatness, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Can I pray for you? What's your name?
Dennis.
Dennis, you guys are married? Guys, Lord is setting you up to become very much more intimate with him. Because in that intimacy, God wants to give birth to something new. And there's a seed that will affect generations. But it starts in that intimate place where God wants to draw you to that place. And Father, I pray this morning for this family, Lord. I pray, Lord, that as you draw them into a place of intimacy, Lord, that the secrets of heaven will be shared there, Lord. But I thank you, Lord, that you... There's a divine connection that's taking place in that place of intimacy this morning, Lord. That can only be birthed when we are intimate with you. And Father, I thank you for the seed that you give them this morning, Lord, that will affect generations. That's an incorruptible seed this morning. A seed that will start with them, Lord, pursuing you. Dennis, the Lord says that you need to keep your eyes upon in his eyes. Behold, he says, behold. Jesus, I thank you that you give him a grace to behold, Lord, to stand strong, to God, not to be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, but Father, I thank you that he will be firmly established in your word this morning, Lord. And Father, that he will lead, that he will break the ground to a greater purpose. Bless them. God has got a hook on you and he's pulling you, but he says do not resist, because he's got a purpose, and it feels like there's a pulling, but it's God is pulling. Can I just pray with you? Father, I just thank you this morning, Lord, for what you are doing here. And Father, I thank you that you are pulling them to a place, Lord, where you want them to be, to a place, Lord, where you've got greater things aligned for them, a destiny, Lord, that is about to awaken, Lord. God, I just see a paradise. I just see some so much abundance. I see there's abundance of water where God is taking me and leading you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that they will have the grace to see, to experience, to eat, and to live, Lord, in that place where you call them. Jesus, we thank you. You with a bicycle, and you're driving in the rural places, and God calls you to take his word there. Father, I thank you this morning that Jonas has got the grace, Lord, that you call him to preach and proclaim the good news. Now, Lord, I believe this bicycle speaks of the place where he's willing to drive and to go, Lord, where others are not willing to go, Lord, but Lord, also where your grace is enabling to go there. I thank you, Lord, that he will equip himself in the word, that he will equip himself, Lord, with every good thing that you want to bring his side, Lord. I thank you this morning, Lord, that you're strengthening him, Lord, that you're sharpening this arrow, Lord, to shoot him to a place where your kingdom will grow, where your kingdom will come. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that none of the words that you will impart in him, Lord, that will go lost, Lord, none of that. Lord, I pray this morning that it will all bear fruit, good fruit in his life. We pray for a spiritual speeding up in his journey, Lord, this morning. I pray, Lord, that as his eyes are upon you this morning, Lord, you will continue to impart more and more of you, more of your spirit, an abundance of your spirit in him. Jesus, we thank you. Teachers in school, everybody. So I don't have to ask that question. We all have something in common. If you've been in school, if you are in school, we all know that we've been exposed to teachers. Are there any teachers here this morning? No. Sorry. Okay. I'll be careful what I say. Okay. Now I didn't intend to say anything bad anyway. But before I share with that, just a reminder, tonight we have our prayer and worship night. We didn't have that announcement on there. But I really want to invite you that tonight to pray with us here, as we will be at church 6 o'clock tonight. And we'll probably dedicate a lot of the time praying for our government yesterday, as they were, as our new president and his cabinet started officially. So let's get together tonight and let's pray together. But let's coming back to the teachers. I'm preaching on teachers this morning, and the pros and the cons of good and bad teachers. No. I just want to share a few thoughts on that. That we all have teachers, and some of us still at that place. But if you have to look back and think about that, meditate for a moment, think, what positive experiences did you gain from that? From school. Maybe you don't have any positive. Think about the negative then, it's fine also. But maybe you remember about those teachers that had such an effect in your life that, and I shared a few examples this morning earlier on about once in my life that I just enjoyed certain subjects more because I liked the teacher. You know, she was just a fun teacher. We had we had this older lady today. She's passed away already, but she was such a lovely teacher. She, the guys loved her because they were so full of jokes, the teacher, etc. But we couldn't wait to go to the Afrikaans class. Not that we loved Afrikaans much more, but just because we loved the teacher, and as a result of the teacher, we started loving the subject, you know. And likewise, it happened with me in accounting as well. We liked the teacher, and eventually you start liking accounting, and eventually my results were quite good at that time because I didn't want to disappoint the teacher, but the teacher had an influence on my life. And then you also had the less nice experiences, but sometimes the necessary experiences. You know, when we were still much younger, and we were running around just as a child would normally run around at school playing on the stoop. What's that in our English? There's not a word for stoop. All know it's the veranda. Yeah, but you know, you got a big veranda on, at the school. If that, we all know you got that at the schools. You can see the picture. You can paint it for yourself. And we had this teacher. He would tell us six of the best if we ever catch you running on the stoop. And I must admit, we had respect for him until today. And I remember once I got three of the best because I couldn't remember Great Britain's cities or part of that. Until today, I can't remember that. So it didn't help, but nevertheless, we all have such experiences. But I think we can agree this morning that they had an effect on our lives. Their influence had an effect on our lives. And not just only teachers this morning. Maybe it was somebody that joined your life or walked alongside you for a specific time in your life. I had a pastor at one specific time in my life that just said this, and I was hiding in the crowd, in church, not outside church. God has got a way to hook you up and bring you in here and tell you what you need to hear. And then sometimes we hide even here as well. It's possible. It's not as big, but it's still possible to hide here as well. Don't look at me. Don't ask me. But anyway. And I guess I was hiding one of those moments in my life where I didn't want to come out of that place of comfort. And he saw me one day and he said, God says, there's greater things waiting for you. You got to come out of that place. And those few words just ignited something inside of me, and I realized, God, I've got to step up to that. You know, then I made myself available and started serving, etc. And God started with a lot of great things. But the influence of that person was so positive in my life, it just took me to the next level. And I want us to look at the word this morning. What does God say about influence? Because influence is so relevant in the society where we are today. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 10 this morning. All the Christians that have Bibles with them, you're welcome to page with me. For the non-Christians, I've got some scriptures up here. But I'm focused on my Bible. I do not look up. So, God, we help you. Yes. I know we're all in the cell phones and someone's got it in the memory. I guess if you haven't got your Bible, you've got it memorized. So, that's also great. Can inspire us to do that. Well, I'll go according to this because didn't I give you the scripture? Ruanken, is it not on there? On my slides? Nothing. It's gone. Okay. We'll go. See, that's why you need to have a backup plan. I wanted to read from the ESV version. That's why now I've got the NKJV version, but that's also fine. I'll get the point across, hopefully. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 13. And it says, we, however, will not boast beyond measure, but within the limits. Listen to this, and you can underline that in your Bible. But within the limits of the sphere which God appointed us, a sphere which especially includes you. For we are not overextending ourselves as though our authority did not extend to you, for it was to you that we came with the gospel of Christ. Not boasting of things beyond measure, that is, in other men's labors, but having hope that as your faith is increased, we shall be greatly enlarged by you in our sphere. To preach the gospel in the regions beyond you, and not to boast in another man's sphere of accomplishment. But he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. For not he who commends himself as approved, but whom the Lord commends. And this piece of scripture especially talks about of our influence in society. By the way, no, let me not run ahead there. A couple of Sundays ago, I shared at Windhoek, and God laid a message on my heart that I think it's just bigger than, again, like the audience this morning and even there, that I am really concerned when I look at our news lately at the trend where things are going. I don't know about you, but I'm really concerned if you look what's happening around us in the world, in our neighboring countries. Maybe we are fortunate in a certain way in our own country that we are spared from a lot of that, but it's starting to pop up a lot of things. And it seems to me, and I'm not being a negative hell preacher or whatever this morning, whatever, that things are just going down. The trend is just not going gradually, but it's suddenly just going downwards in many ways. And darkness is busy invading us much sooner than we thought. And it's in times like this that we have to stand up and say, God, we have to stand up for what is right, for what we believe. It's in times like this that we see, and it's becoming more and more evident that we have two groups of people, those that aspire to build their empires, as in the biblical times, when the people got together in Genesis and they said, listen, let's get together and we build a tower for ourselves. So that, the Bible says, so that we build a name for ourselves. And then you have the other group of people. In other words, we have the empire builders and then you have the kingdom builders. And the gap is just becoming wider and wider, and we have on the one side people just aspiring or dreaming and running after their dreams and acquiring more and using the influence to build the empire and something straight away about Nkandla. But that's fine if you think about that as well. We see that around us, people misusing, I want to say, things that's been signed to them for other purposes to benefit themselves. The problem with this whole thing about the empires, when you use the influence and the resources and whatever God has sent you or lend you, and you start building your empire so that it will benefit you alone, me and my generation, and as long as I can get something out of this deal right now, then I'm happy. I don't worry about the ones that come after me and my children and the generation and two and three after that. And I tell you, I am worried about that. Often at the intercession we have this conversation and then it can go really negative. But then we have to make a decision to say, God, we have got to pray against that. We see that, we've got to pray against that mentality of, I build my kingdom. It's my empire. And as long as I am satisfied, as long as I have enough, that's enough for me. Versus God's approach, like when he says you need to be a kingdom builder. There's a total difference. Let's talk about being a kingdom builder. What does it mean to be a kingdom builder? Because we often use that term in church, being kingdom minded. If I ask you or I say to you, you're not kingdom minded this morning, what does it mean? See, somebody that's kingdom minded or is a kingdom builder is someone this morning that realized that he's here for a greater purpose than just breathing. He's here for a greater purpose than just working. And he's here for a greater purpose than just living. I often joke about that. You live here because you have a reason why you're still, there's still a reason why you're alive. But somebody who is a kingdom builder will realize, I'm here, cut everything away, cut to the bone, I'm here to spread the gospel of Christ. I'm not here to wait for the pastor or leader or anybody. I'm here to further his kingdom. I'm here because he saved me, because he called me, because he said to Adam, Adam, where are you? And then when he called Adam after that, the second question when he said, Abel or Cain, where your brother Abel? Just those two things. The whole world or the whole Bible can be summarized in those two questions. God will pursue a relationship with you. He will hunt you. And you'll run away, and hopefully we'll find you, because you didn't find him. He found me in my mess by his grace. And I can just say, God, thank you that you found me. And then once he found you, he'll go after your brother and your sister. He'll ask you and me, where are they? Where are they this morning, Patiki? And he'll ask the same question to all of us. Where are they? I found you. Where are they? Because kingdom is not just for me and for you. For my and me. Because when we still build empires, the way we talk is like me. I don't feel like it. I don't like it. It's not good for me. But the moment God invites us to the kingdom, he says it's now, the me becomes now we. Now not just about your feelings, what you want, but you got to think a little bit bigger. Because I've got a family in mind. I send my son so that I can have a family. And all of that. But somebody that's kingdom minded has got a greater purpose. That realize life is greater than just your job, with all due respect. I don't care where you are on the ladder, where you see yourself this morning. But where you have to recognize or to realize that God has placed me here for a greater purpose than why I'm here. The job is just a method of taking me to that place. He's just a camel. Somebody preached on that one day that sermon about Isaac that went to Rebekah. I think I shared that as well. It was in such an important time in my life where he shared this truth. He said, Rebekah, other way around. Rebecca went on the, got on the camel after the servant found her. But do you know the story? What happened? She served the camels with water. She served water to them, and the very thing she served became the thing that took her to her destiny. And that was the sign to the servant that that would be the right lady. In other words, let's translate that this morning. Some of you might be on a camel that you do not want to serve, but God says that's your camel that will take you to your destiny. Continue to serve that camel. And I remember in my life that was just so profound at that moment. I was discontent. I was like, oh God, I just want to be in the ministry. I don't want to do this. All of that. Complaining and being very spiritual. And all. God said, just, no, just hang in there and be faithful. Because one thing I found out in my journey with the Lord is sometimes God is telling you or teaching you, finish what you started. Young people, you can say amen there. Finish what you started. Yeah, that's a principle. Even if you think it's if it's unholy, and I don't mean going sin, I'm just saying you think you're doing a job that is not spiritual enough for you. God says, finish what you've started. And then you, along the line, because there's too many people that say they will do and they can and they will, and they, even in the kingdom, they take this one thing and they don't finish this. And God says, no, I've got to teach you in the world, because we all know that. At work, if you give somebody a task, you expect him to finish it, to come back, to report to you and say, this is what I've done. Thank you very much. Thank you, your good and faithful servant. No, not, okay, I thought the Spirit is leading me to this one. Then I started with this one. I fed the child halfway, up to 1 month. And then the Spirit led me to the other child. So I left that child there. He'll be, the Spirit will take care of him. But let's just, anyway, I'm going sidetracked now. Finish what you've started. What I want to say. Great purpose to live for. Great principles to live by. Somebody that's in the kingdom is someone that says, I live by the principles of God, not by the culture of this world or by the norm and society of this world. And if you need to hear that this morning, or in a time like this, you need to hear it this morning. That you need to know what you believe in, because otherwise the society will tell you. They will press their norms on you. They will try and get you to succumb to their ways, to give in to the pressure. Our government, that's why we pray for them. Because they've got outside forces, I want to say forces, people influencing them. This is society. Why don't you just leave this whole abortion thing? That's old school, man. That's not biblical. That's not the current society. Doesn't think like that anymore. Why don't you just hook up with your girlfriend, sleep together? I mean, come on, we're living in 2015. That's old school to think like that you have to live separately. I mean, at the end of the day, it's about saving money. That's more practical. I mean, think about it. It's logical. That's what the world will tell you. All those things. And when we say, no, we don't do it like that, then we're the wrong ones. It's old school. No, but you don't understand. You've got to be relevant. But people, we got to be people that says we live and we're not going to compromise our principles, because that's what the Word of God says. We got to be the Daniels. We got to pray for the Daniels in our government. See, kingdom builders are people that live on or live according to great power that Christ has made us available. We're not fueled or we're not funded or encouraged by our own motivation or our own will, I want to say. Because it will not take you only to a certain place. You need the power of God to keep you in this race. Because it's not easy every day. And by God's grace, when Jesus rose on that third day, he broke through the grave and he made available to us a power that's above, far above what we can imagine this morning, that enable us to run this race faithfully. And kingdom people are people that tap into that power. Say, God, I need that. Because along the way, I grow weary. Along the way, sometimes we take shots and we do not know. And then one I love as well, apart from the fact that God gives us a great purpose, he gives us great principles, he gives us a great power, he gives us great people to live with. Say amen with me, eh? Look at the person next to you and tell him, you're a great person. And you are my family. You are family. I know you don't want it. You can't choose your family, eh? Did you hear that? You can choose your friends, but you can't choose your family. So this morning, you can't choose them. God chose them. Did you decide that Anthony must come to Shofar? No, God decided. No, it's not for me to pick him. God picked him. And because he's in the building, and God is in the building, and I'm here, we are family. Amen. And I've got to make peace with that. Well, I love him. I'm just joking. But that's the challenges of, I think, family, spiritual family. We all have the struggles in our own natural families. But in the spiritual family, we have that as well. I don't like that one. I'm not going to church with that one and all of that. And sometimes you're in the middle and you just don't want to get involved in this. And say, God, let them just sort this thing out themselves. But at the end of the day, we still have to thank God. Say, God, thank you for family. I might not see everything like that, but that's fine, Lord. It's not about me. At the end of the day, it's about your family and what you've got in mind. And your purposes and what you've got in mind for us are so much greater than my opinion and how I feel about things and all of that. Because God's got a family here this morning. And some of us, we complain about not having friends. Man, if you want a friend, become a friend. Don't complain about lonely. If you're in this church and you tell me you're lonely, the problem is not the church, the problem is with you. That means you have to invite somebody for a coffee and say, listen, I want to drink a coffee with you. Put something on the table, not money, but I mean spiritually speaking, let me rephrase. Put something on the table so that God can bless that. We always ask God, God bless this, God do this for me. You've got to put something on the table so that God can bless that. In other words, you've got to make that appointment. You've got to invite that person to your house and say, God, I'm in need of relationships. I'm in need of people around me. I'm in need of people that can counsel me or help me or can be that sister to me or be that mentor to me. And God will bless you with that. But it doesn't happen behind closed doors. Shandra Banda, hoping that Jesus will send the angel knocking on your door. Sometimes it does happen. Well, sometimes we have people that, I must say, that lovely people that will go out there. But sometimes you got to get out of your comfort zone and say, God, you've blessed me with great people. I'm going to be kingdom-minded. God, I thank you for these people. And be selfish, man. I'm selfish. Peter, what have you got that I need? You've got something that I need. I got to explore that. That's why I always go on about getting involved. Because there's something in the sister that I need. Well, I got to figure this out. Then I'm going to pull it out of her. I can be blessed. But God intended it to be like that. Great people to live with. And that's how God wants our family to operate. Father, make them one. That's what Jesus prayed. And maybe we have to pray that more often. God, make us one. Make us one. Make us one. Help me. See, 2 Corinthians 10:13, the English Standard Version, the Bible says here, but we will not boast beyond limits, but will boast only with regard to the area of influence God assigned to us. And some translation says God appointed you. You can appoint it to you. You can underline that in your Bible. God assigned it to us. An area of influence. Now if you want to, you're like a picture person, maybe you should draw a circle around you this morning in your mind. And that's the circle of trust. Have you seen that? No, don't worry with that movie. Just leave that movie. It's not a good movie too. The circle of influence. That circle around you is your circle of influence. And if you're a parent this morning, you have that circle of influence. You maybe think you do not have as much influence there. The moment when you said, I do, and the moment you heard that first cry, eh, God gave you influence there. Whether you want to accept that or not, the baby has been handed to you, spiritually speaking as well. God has given you spiritual children. You can try and adopt them or give them up for adoption, or you can say, God, I'm going to take up responsibility and realize that I've got an influence here. Other day somebody shared with me about something I thought, I didn't do anything. He just came and shared something about what he received from me, spiritually speaking. I thought, God, but I didn't do anything. I was just being me. But then I realized again how carefully we have to step or walk. That people watch us. That we impart unknowingly being in one another's presence. So that means probably tomorrow morning when you're back at work, you're busy imparting, or you're busy influencing people, unknowingly. Or at home. Fathers, and I was quite strict in the first service about that. What are you imparting to your children? What are you modeling to your children? I'm really concerned when I look, when we started, our oldest is going to school now, grade one, and it's amazing how God opens new doors to us. I love that. The first day I got to school, I'm like, God, I thank you. This is a great place to be. There's a field here of people that need, I'm not saying these people all, or none of them knew God, but I knew there's a lot of potential there. But you go around and you see that and you observe that, and when you're spiritually sharp, you will pick it up soon, that there's such a poorness in our families, spiritually speaking. In a country like Namibia, in a town like Swakopmund, where people confess Christ as the Lord and say, God, we serve you. We realize that we have different values that we live according to, different set of norms. And I say, God, are we all from the same family? We all, maybe not even from the same church. That's nothing to do with the church. Then you realize a lot of us think we have something which we do not have. Maybe it's just the religion that's been passed on to us. Or something that we think we're imparting to our children. I worry about what we model to our children on a Sunday morning when dad gets on the bicycle and do other things. Because you see, it's not just, and I'm not saying don't get on the bicycle, don't feel guilty. Go according to what God lays, and I'll tell you, I know what he will tell you, but anyway, leave that there. But I'm worried that we choose to do other things when we have the option to fellowship with God and his people, that we choose the liberty to do other things, because at the end of the day, it's about my joy and about my happiness and about what I enjoy and all of that. And then we expect our children to do what we do not model ourselves. And one day, and we are imparting in generations, and I tell you people, as a parent, I realize that the decisions I make is not just for me right now. The things, the way I treat my wife at the moment, my children are so sensitive at this moment that even if we sometimes have words, and that's a revelation to you that we have as well, but when we have it, they are careful, they're picking it up. And I'm like, God help us here with that. Because they almost want to stop us and say, don't. And you realize, God, we have to be so careful for what we're imparting here. And as fathers, the responsibility is so much bigger upon us. But God will ask us, where's your wife? Come on, where's your wife? Where's your children? You do not choose for them, but you had to impart, you had to sow seed, you had a time, you had a window of opportunity. Your window of opportunity is that long, or that small, until they make a decision to choose for themselves. You can sow and sow and sow and pray, but what are you doing this morning? And if you do not know even how to break down God's word and to explain it to them, and to use your influence as a father to explain the word to them, because you are never intimate with him, what do you expect them to become? Are you going to blame them for not making or for not choosing Christ? Because daddy never chose Christ or showed it to them, portrayed it to them. Because you cannot, I'm sorry, you cannot worship alone in your closet there and expecting your children to find God somewhere. You got to model it to them, because the eyes, through the eyes, they see this. That's why I love it when the children at the back sometimes, when they worship. And they may be copy, but that's fine if they copy. I love it when they copy. Because eventually along the way, they figure out why I'm raising my hands and why we do what we do. So they maybe it's easier for them when they grow older. Then they're not like us. When you're the first time, we came in an environment like this. You know that you're so, you feel like, was it Lot's wife? Yeah, Lot's wife. Salt pillar. Stand there and you pray for grace. God, just get me up there. And you think about the person behind me. Ah, oh, if he's just going to... Oh. And eventually there's a slow release, a slow liberty that's taking place to that place where Christ sets us free completely. But you got to model that to them, father and mother as well. But you decide. Men, you put your name down when we're doing the men's camp. Because then we talk serious stuff at the men's camp in 2 weeks, 2 months time. By the way, if you're not quick, if you snooze, you are going to lose. Because I have people already booking at the moment. And we're only opening in the 1st of April. Nevertheless, you see, everybody's got influence this morning. And what are you doing with the influence? Influence is not the position you occupy this morning. It's not where you work this morning. We had a guy that worked in our garden when I was a young boy, a little boy. And that guy, the influence of the way he came to work every day, the way he spoke to us, the way he treated us, had such an influence. And as a young boy, I didn't even recognize, I wasn't even so spiritual in tune at that stage. But just the self-control he had, the way he spoke to us, had such a positive effect on me. That tells me this morning, regardless of where you are, school, whether you are the top job or the low job or wherever you are, you've got influence. And influence is not your position this morning. Something the world will tell you. Influence is authority. And influence is not authority. You maybe have a position where you can exercise more influence. But you can be in a position of authority. And we see that around us. I don't want to call names. And it's sad to say that people misuse that place of authority to further their kingdom, to further their empire. And may God help us as we pray and God places in that strategic places that we will be people of places in authority, but that will exercise that influence so that His kingdom will further. And it's in the government we got to pray more and more that God will raise up such Daniels that says, well, we're not bending to the world and that principle and that. And I couldn't care less about what you think. I'm not doing it that way because I'm a man of purpose. I'm a man of principle. I'm a man of great power and I'm a man that lives with great people around me. And I've got influence around me because God assigned that. Can you see that God assigned, God gave you influence. As a father and a mother, He gave you influence. As somebody that's been placed at work, He gave you influence. He gave you those people. Well, Paul prayed this. He said, God, I pray for those that are with me in the ship. Where are you sailing with this morning? Who's in your ship? Or is it just you on your destination? Who are you praying for? Who's in your ship this morning? Are you taking with you? Because one day we'll stand in front of Him and say, God, great to be here. But who else did I ask you to bring with you or to invite? That's what it's about, a great purpose. About keep on using our influence. See, influence is not fame. Hollywood would tell you, the fame, more famous you become, the greater lifestyle you have. Influence this morning is not wealth. The more you own, the more you have in your bank account, the more you that, more all of that, then you will have more influence. Maybe the world thinks like that. And maybe we hear that saying, it's not where you are, it's where you know and all of that. And when money can, maybe in the world's terms, but not in the kingdom of God. In actual fact, it's the opposite. God says it's not about that. You see, maybe we have to come to that place like Jabez that prayed, God, increase my territory so that your kingdom will be furthered. Maybe you need to ask God, say, God, increase my influence this morning. But you've got to use that. It's like a muscle this morning. If you don't use that, all the guys that know that pump the dumbbells and the bars, you'll know if you do not use that, it's like if you don't pay your gym installment, they come and take the little bit of muscles that you have. And that's very bad for some of the men because your whole ego is built around that. Anyway, for we are not overextending, verse 14, for we are not overextending ourselves as though we did not reach you. For we were the first to come, listen to this, we were the first to come all the way to you. With what? With the gospel of Christ. What are we saying to one another this morning? Everyone has got influence. And my influence is not for myself. To affect people or to influence people so that, in effect, I will be the only benefactor of this all. That my interests are looked after. The influence God gives us as we increase, or that influence is being increased, is for the benefit of others. Not to build my own empire. God says, you can share in that, it's fine. But ultimately, I give you influence. So that my kingdom will be furthered. And I'm sorry to say, but I'm praying for folk. As if you look in the news, you see the governments, you see it, political leaders. I'm just thinking, God, you need to give grace on these people and open their eyes, because they will stand before God where they were leading nations. That places of influence and misusing that. That's why God says pray for the government, because they are in places that they are so much more vulnerable to making wrong decisions. And as a result of that, it's not just one and two, it's nations that they will have to give account of and say, I appointed you for that specific time and season. You thought it's about the job, you thought about driving the car and all of that. It's much bigger than that. And maybe you're in a place of influence this morning in a work situation where God has blessed you. But sadly to say, you're there to influence people around you. Psalm 72, when you read that, that is a prayer to the leaders. And God says to the people there, cry out for those who cannot speak for themselves. Speak up. Last year, is it last year's awakening when we had that theme? Speak up for those who cannot speak up for themselves. And speak up doesn't mean complain to the church and say, your church's got to do something. Speak up means you speak and you do. Because some of us, we feel the burden is lifted when I shared and I complained and said, why are the churches so bad? They can't do anything about the situation. But you haven't done anything about that. When God says, sorry, use that influence. Use it to influence others, but speak up for those who cannot speak up for themselves. And that's why I love what Brenda, I shared your testimony actually on your behalf in the first service already. But I love it when you shared your testimony this morning. When you speak up, when you fight for those who cannot fight for themselves, God will fight for you. And that is a living testimony to me this morning of the kind of God that will water your garden if you water the gardens of others that cannot water it themselves. If you use that influence that God has given you to further His kingdom, say, God, I will use that so that your name be glorified. So they will just see you. And God promised you in His word, He will take care of you. And sometimes, go ask Brenda. I haven't walked where she's walked. I've not been in her shoes. But as she testified, it's a walk of faith. It's not an easy road. It's not an, oh, hoo-ha, a Hollywood life. A famous life. It's not a life of everything is fine every day. It's a challenging time. It's a challenging life where we got to walk at that place. And that's why there are not many there on that road. Because many counted the cost and said, well, this is a bit expensive. I can't go there. I can't pay that price. And may God help us. You know, it's different for all of us this morning, what God has called us to. But this is the thing, and it just came to my mind now. For each and every one of us this morning, irrespective of where God called you, there will be a price that you have to pay. If you choose to wholeheartedly obey God. And the price is different for all of us, according to what God has gifted us and the situation. But if you're going to choose not to pay that price here, I believe in eternity, we'll stand before Him, maybe poor. Because we were not willing, we counted the cost. I said, God, I cannot pay that. It's too much. That's why Jesus says it's not an easy journey always. You see, when we climb to higher positions, we think, oh, the higher I'm up, the more influence I can have, the more authority. Maybe that's true in the world. But Jesus says, in my kingdom, it's opposite. You've got to be a leader, you've got to go down. If you want to be a big shot, you've got to go down. I always said, if you want to sit on the you want to be a king, you've got to clean the throne. You know that joke? The throne. The toilet. Yeah. No, it's exactly. That's why when you go to ministry, I'll call every single pastor, everyone will tell you, before you were climbing, I don't want to say I'm climbing, but there were time and season when you say yes to God, He will take you to the throne room and get you to clean that. So are you willing to serve there where nobody sees you, where it's not about your gifting, where you're just there to sort out your heart and to know you're doing it for the right purposes, not to be glorified. And God will take us to that place where we need to serve. And if you're here this morning and you are not serving, that's just a sign to me you're still building your own empire. That's the truth. Because God says, Jesus said, I came to model that to you. So likewise, do that to the others. And we serve God not just by praying and reading our Bibles, which the church has told us through generations now. You serve God by serving His people, His church, in and outside the church. So make myself available, because God, you are bigger than my family and me. Let's not go on about serving. By the way, we have Wednesday night. For those of you that are visiting this morning or intending to be part of this family, we're sharing a lot about what we are doing, our ministries, on Wednesday night at our equipping night. So we give you a snapshot in a short time of what's happening at the church in the moment, different ministries. So you're welcome, 7 o'clock on Wednesday night at the church. But when God calls us, He calls us to be servants so that we can influence people. And don't you love the words of our president yesterday when he said, "I promise to serve all Namibians without exception." Hey? Ain't that beautiful words of a president? I must say, I tweeted that. I posted that because it's just such beautiful words. And we need to pray for our president when he said something like that. It will not just be a statement, but that God will grant him the grace to live such a life. But that he had the boldness to say something like that. "I promise to serve all Namibians without exception." May that be your motto. Say, "God, I promise to serve your people because I love you, Lord." I remember years ago when Pastor Bill Wilson, I often shared some stories about him, but they've got the biggest children's church, I told you that as well, in the world at that stage, in America as well, I think so. But nevertheless, man that was an orphan himself, eventually he came to Christ for somebody that invited him, long story short, so he started this taking children from the street and at the Sunday school. But when the Sunday school reached the place where there were more than 20,000 children on a Sunday, you can think this is a massive thing happening. The logistics happening on a Sunday morning. They've got yellow buses, these big ones, they driving to pick up the kids, to drop them off. They have all kinds of, I won't say entertainment, but things when they interact with the children. But he was driving one of those buses himself. He didn't have to. He thought, I'll continue to do that. And I remember he preached a sermon once there when we were still in London. He said, "At the moment, I'm busy studying for my doctor's degree." I don't know in what, it was in theology somewhere. He said, "But when I'm finished with that, I'm going to take that certificate or that thing and I'm going to put it against the wall of the bus in the inside just so people can see a doctor can still drive a bus." For all the big shots and all the big pastors and all the ones that think, you know, we're so important now, it's beyond me to do that anymore. But Jesus says the way up is the way down for all of us. And if you struggle to serve, that's just a sign that you're still not at the place where God wants you to be. Because when you love God, you got to love serving. That's just going hand in hand. And God's got to bring us to that place where we love to serve His people more and more as the opportunity is around us. It was a while ago. I visited Pastor Emmanuel Alula's church, and they were one day with us in the auditorium last year, I think. We were worshipping as churches together on the day of prayer in the, what's that, sport arena, what's it, Swakopmund Indoor Sport Centre. You know, when their turn came to sing a song, you know what the band looked like? 7-year-old son. His son. That's their band. I asked him once. "Tell me about your band. I know we've got all the instruments here this morning and everybody. They've just got a keyboard and a 7-year-old son. And he's making music for God. And he's leading a congregation of 200 people in worship. 7 years old. And you tell me you have an excuse not to serve God." The other day, Anthony's son came to us. He said, "I want to help with the camera. Can I hold the camera?" I said, "Great." They told me this afterwards. I said, "God, thank you for people like that. Thank you for children that you're using." Because God says, "If you do not get off your..." I'll use the child to teach you something here. And one day I'm going to get him to the front. I'm going to ask, "Preach. Preach to us about serving. Tell us about what it means to you." But at the end of the day, God will use whatever means to teach us. And if it's children, we got to be open to that. But when I looked at that young boy, Pastor Emmanuel, it was just such a blessing to me and such an inspiration to think, God, it's just amazing how these people are just available for you. I said, "God, anywhere, wherever you want me, I'm willing to serve, Lord, because I know eventually the way up is the way down." And it's amazing how children just, they snapped at it. They just get that one. I don't know why we become so, God must help us here. You see, if we do not use our influence God will use somebody else. God had to pull Lot. He had to pull Lot out of that place and say, Lot, you're being affected by that situation around you. I got to take you out of here because you're not doing your job. And maybe there are some lots, I want to say. And God says, you got to shape up. Otherwise, I'll have to call somebody else to affect that environment, to influence that environment. And that's not what we want to. We want to stand before God one day. And I'm not saying, trying to preach or bring fear upon you. I'm just calling you this morning to act upon the God-given responsibility that He's given you to influence nations, generations for the kingdom of God. Individuals. See, you do not know. I had this friend in my life. In 2004, he died of cancer. He was a young man, 28 years old. He was my... We studied together, we dreamed together, we shared about our dreams. We both had the dream of being called to ministry, and then when he got cancer, the wife, 4-year-old daughter, started praying, standing in faith, and boom, the opposite happened. What you didn't expect to happen. That one that you didn't get answers for. Something in life. When something like that happens sometimes, you like, your whole theology is anyway. I don't know if you had such experiences. When you... The word says, and then boom, something happens, and the whole theology is shaky. And you wrestle with God, and sometimes God doesn't give you an answer, but in this case, He gave me an answer. I said, God, why did you take him? Why did you allow him to die? I mean, God, your word says he stood in faith and all of that. Why did you allow that to happen? God, you called him to ministry. Why would you call this man to ministry, and then he dies of cancer in 28 years? It doesn't make sense. He hasn't even entered ministry officially. God answered me. He said, his life is a seed in your ministry. And so many others very affected. So you do not know who you are influencing at this moment. That one person might be the next Billy Graham, honestly, or the next president this morning. By you influencing that person, or even your child this morning, or wherever you are this morning, use that influence wisely. Because the third point this morning is we will give account of the influence that has been given to us. Scripture says this, for not he who commends himself is approved, but whom the Lord commends. You know, in Matthew 25, Jesus told us this parable about the stewards. And when we came back and asked him, what did you do with what I gave you? He will do that with our, regarding our influence as well. What did you do with that? I placed you there, not so that you can get a nice paycheck at the end of the month. That was just a blessing, just because I love you anyway. But that's not my primary reason why I placed you there. So God's purposes are far beyond what we can imagine or think this morning. It's far beyond the amount of digits beyond your salary. It's so much bigger. He's got eternal purposes this morning in mind. He said, I placed you there for that reason. Did you figure that one out? Did you use that influence? Did you live according to that set of values that I gave you? Amen. I'm going to ask Mark. They started something recently. I'm going to ask to share something about how they exercised his influence lately.
Good morning. Thank you, Jacob. For you who don't know me, I'm a general practitioner and my wife is also one. So we closely in contact with the private hospital, and as you know, people, if they're not happy, they tend to easily moan and tell you what they don't like and complain and so on. And the one says it's dirty, and the other one says the service is bad, and the other one moans about the food. And our natural reaction is just to agree and say yes, and you actually carry on speaking death into a problem where you are actually part of the you should actually be part of the solution. And then you decide, okay, let's go and speak to management, and management knows about that. And the thing is, people really have problems because the management says it's a cleaning company, they have a problem, and then the nurses are a problem because they're overworked, they can't get new nursing staff, and there are many reasons why things don't operate properly, and the more we criticize, the worse the situation actually gets. And then we, Christine and I, just decided, you know, we must actually start praying at the hospital. And then I went to the management, and then they said, no, it's fine, we can have a Friday morning and do it. And then we actually thought, but how do we get it going? Because actually we don't need to pray there, we can also pray at home. And so then we decided, no, let's just go and just do that. And we started, and we advertised it, and the first prayer meeting there were about 10 people. And we went there, and we thought, well, the two of us, that's biblical enough, because the word says where two or more gather in the Lord's name, he is there. So the first time there were about 10 or 12 people, and it was a wonderful praying session we had. And then the next time, a month later, the boardroom was so full that there weren't enough seats. And it was just amazing how people prayed. And I mean, people, you don't know, it was from the cleaner to the nurses, any person who wanted to join us was invited, and they just came and they helped praying. It's only a 15-minute session. And then one always thinks, and what, well, how do we know things are going to happen? And what was interesting, we, for instance, the hospital had problems getting nursing staff, and there were Zimbabwean nurses who applied, and they didn't get their work permits. And it's like Brenda's story, all of a sudden, 8 nurses got their work permits, so they've got enough nursing staff. And now we can say, oh, that's luck, and we can call it anything, but as Christians, we actually know it's God operating there. And I think that's just such a lack of testimony that you don't have to do much, you just pray. And I just want you people to, when you have spare time, just pray for the hospital and for everybody who just is involved there. Thank you.
Meet, that's it. I want us in closure. There's 2 questions I want us to discuss this morning. Maybe turn to somebody that you feel comfortable with. Have we got it up there? Have they got it up there? How can I use my influence to increase the kingdom of God? And secondly, is my life an example of the willingness and servitude to those that are part of the kingdom? So in other words, where God has placed me, how can I use that influence? And think for a moment, have a discussion around it. And secondly, not in my own eyes, in others' eyes, because this changes the thing. If others look at me, because you know we always rank ourselves a little bit higher, but if others look at me, can they see that I'm willing and I'm a servant this morning? And how can we help one another in this? So let's turn to one another, talk about that, and then you can close and pray where you are. The Lord bless you. Thank you for coming this morning. Amen.